You're listening to the Hope Shot Recovery Podcast.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Hope Shot. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Had a lot of things happen, and Caesar's not here today. And we had a rough week, and then in this recovery deal, rough weeks are going to happen, and sometimes they're not fair. And I think we're going to be talking about that tonight, and we're also going to try to get anybody that's struggling, or if they have any good stuff to talk about, man, ask us questions, whatever you like. I'm going to read the clarity statement real quick. We here at the Hope Shot are a group of people in recovering, spreading inspiration. We come from all different walks of life and pathways of recovery. Our verbiage may be different at times, but we all have one thing in common. Recovery is the lifestyle. We support all pathways of recovery. It doesn't matter how you get from A to Z, just get there. And thank you for being a part of our family. Yeah, this past week, my mother-in-law passed away unexpectedly. I don't think any death is ever, even when it's what's happening, it's never like something you're prepared for. But she came and visited for the weekend or for my son's 8th birthday. He's a leap year baby, so he has his birthday once every 4 years. So his whole life, he had two birthdays if he's 2 years old. And we had the family thing, did the celebrations. And she surprised him for his birthday and went back home and passed away. And life sometimes ain't fair. And we have to accept the unfairness of it, right? And, you know, this life on life's terms. That's pretty much what we're going to be talking about. But yeah, life on life's terms. It's unfair. It's not something that we wanted to happen, but it's something we have to accept if we want to move on. If not, we can get stuck in the shoulda, coulda, would've. And that's a bad place to be. I hate that neighborhood. Yeah. And we do it a lot, especially when tragedy strikes or something that we don't like or we don't want. We get in those shoulda, coulda, would've, man. There's something I could have said. Is there something I could have done? Is there maybe one, like a situation, like what happens if she didn't come? What happens if there's all these things? When it's a bad place to be, because, man, it gets you in a dark hole and depressed. And was that where she wanted it to be? No, it's not supposed to be. We celebrate life. We celebrate life, and it's hard sometimes. So we're having the service this week. Nate, what you got on life on life's terms? You got anything like? You got anything going on life on life's? I know it's a little. Get a little heavy.
Stuff, man. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
First and foremost, though, I want to say something like an observation. We were on the phone when you found out, and it's like, and well, what I see is your ability to deal with this is a direct reflection of all the work you've put in this last year, Justin. Like a year ago or 2 years ago, you might not have handled this the same way. But I seen you handle this with grace and dignity and relative calm, you know what I mean? And it's to be able to watch that evolution, and because that's what we're doing here in recovery, right? We are preparing for these things that are inevitably going to happen. It might not be a death in the family, but it's going to be a loss of a job, a loss of a relationship. It might be whatever myriad of excuses we used to latch onto back in the day to keep getting loaded, right? We don't have the luxury of using that for an excuse anymore. So what do you do? How am I preparing in my recovery on a daily basis so I am equipped, so I have the armor to face these battles that are surely going to come? It's not if they're going to come. They are coming. Shit's going to happen. Life is going to happen. And how prepared am I? I can't get lazy in my recovery. I'm most vulnerable when things are going well. Why am I most vulnerable? Because then I want to let off the gas a little bit, man. I want to put it on cruise control. Maybe I got one of those cars that steer for me and don't go out of the lane. You know? And it's because that's how good my God is, right? My God has got me just cruising in this life, taking it as it comes, going with the flow. But don't mistake that we don't have to continue putting in the work, right? Because it is that constant vigilance, that constant diligence and work and sacrifice and prayer and meditation and service and continuing to go through these steps, continuing to reach out to our fellows, continuing getting in the habit of these things that we do on a daily basis, right? And it's only if I am not doing these things, I am not going to be able to face these things when they come. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to get loaded off of them, but am I going to be a producer of harmony rather than confusion when the when shit's going wrong, when someone's distraught? Am I going to make it all about me? Am I going to be like, oh shit, look what I have to go through? Or am I going to be selfless? Am I going to be a light in this dark? Am I going to bring something to the table? What can I offer? I took so much from this world for so fucking long. Now, what can I bring to it? What can I offer to, and like, I see Justin bringing something. You know what's freaking amazing? They went up and handled their business where they had to handle it, and they came back and they got to a meeting on Thursday night. You know what I mean? And then they go today on yesterday on Saturday and go to Unity Day and spend an entire day around fellowship, giving, being of service, being connected. This is the power of recovery. We have all sorts of different families, right? I may not have a mom today, but I'm surrounded by mothers, right? I might not be able to be around my kids, but I got kids right here next to me right now that I can call mine, and that when I can give that same love. And you know what? What are we doing? What kind of fellowship are we building? So when this shit goes down, when something happens, we're surrounded with love, with prayers, with assistance, with help. Justin's watching four kids right now. I bet you those kids were watched and taken care of when they went and handled their business. And it's like, that's like what I've taken away from this, Justin. Mm-hmm. You know, another thing, I was talking to my good friend Sherman, right? And he was talking about, we all have a date and we don't know that date, right? So what am I doing? Am I living just nonchalantly, lackadaisically, like, you know, I'm going to live forever? Or do I really want to fucking embrace life? Like, just get down to the core and get into this life, man, and really enjoy it for what it's worth. Not for what I can take from it, but what I can offer it. What can I provide to my loved ones, my family? What can I leave behind? I don't take anything with me, but guess what? I can help a bunch of God's children. I can make it right with my dad. I can show up for people that I didn't show up for before. And that's what I want to leave behind. And I want to, may I live every day. Like, it's almost like I don't know when I'm going to die. It's funny because when we were getting loaded, we thought we were going to die, right? Like, I really didn't care if I did or not. If it happens, you know, it'll end the pain, right? Mm-hmm. But now I'm alive. I'm not saying I don't want to live, but I want to have that a little bit sense of urgency. You know what I mean? Like, that this thing doesn't go on forever. I spent 20 plus years just ruining everybody and everything around me, including myself. So let me take these last years I have left and really live to the fullest, you know? And when I live to the fullest, let me connect to this power. Let me connect to this God, man, and really see where this power can take me and what this power is capable of and how I can share this message and how I can help change a life, transform a life, be there for my friend when he's struggling, be there for somebody that has no idea what recovery looks like. That's the juice, man. That's what, to me, so I know where I'm at right now today. I know if my date was tomorrow or tonight, that I left with honesty. I left with integrity, and people are going to say, hey man, Nathan is a really good man. And I never thought I could have that, to be honest with you.
It's hard sometimes to talk about death, right? We're trying to be on here, be positive, but we have to show the realness of our lives, right? And you know, doing the Unity Day thing, like my fellowship do Unity Day. It's like we go there and we be of service. I was in the sun cooking all day for people to have to enjoy themselves that are fresh in or may have been there for a long time. But it's about time I did stuff like that, because for a long time I was a taker, right? And I've been a taker in recovery too. You could be just as exactly the same in recovery as you can be on the streets using. What is it? It's our behaviors. It's how we operate, right? I'm a taker. I've been a taker my whole life. What can you do for me? And I didn't really see how much of a taker I was, because I've been in my fellowship. And what am I giving back? What am I giving back to something to save my life? And even in our worst times, man, when you're being of service in your worst times, you're getting outside yourself. You're humbling yourself enough to be there. And you get wrapped up by these people. You have a great time. It gets your mind off things, because sitting here in the house, sitting in here, the shoulda, coulda, wouldas is very prominent, right? And my brain liked that. And it's just like you said, Nate, if we had a time, if there was a time thing on our chest that showed exactly how long we got, I promise you, you're going to hurry the fuck up and do exactly everything you needed to do. You ain't going to worry about the bills. You ain't going to worry about getting to some kind of place of success. You're going to worry about what you got going on right now and how you can make it better. Because if we all had that end date, it is going to, you're going to be hitting it hard and getting there. We got in this recovery thing, man. And I am totally guilty of getting in here and thinking I wasted so much time that I have to hurry up and get to some kind of something. And I'm rushing and I got to get it somewhere. And I don't even know what the fuck somewhere is. I have no clue what this somewhere is, but I'm trying to get there for something, right? Instead of taking a moment, just pause and enjoy, man. I'll tell you right now, you know what this did for me? And it's so crazy to say, but I haven't been right by people either, man. It made me really ponder some things, man. Like, I need to be a better person, you know? I felt it to my core about we don't know when our loved ones are going to go. And what does that look like, man? We're out here with the hustle and bustles of life, trying to get to that next point of that little check mark on my life report card, I don't even know, but spending time with people that matter, not just this a phone call or whatever, being too busy, because I get lost in life and it's not getting any slower. And sometimes we just need to slow down and smell the roses and enjoy it while we're here. And it sucks that tragedy has to. That's when the things really come. That's when the aha moments, the sense of realizing, the realization of what we could do better. And yeah, it's been a roller coaster of emotions and it's still going to keep going. And I'm just grateful because this time last year, this time 6 years ago, because I'm about to celebrate next Saturday is my 6 years. It's like before that, man, before recovery, I was the most selfish bastard you could ever think of. I'd make it all about me. What was me? And I couldn't be there for nobody. My wife, I'm trying to be a solid foundation as much as possible and reel her back in sometimes, man. Or just save space. Sometimes you just got to save space for people and let them be and let them grieve, but also help them reel it back in sometimes. It's a healthy balance of the whole deal.
Yeah.
You know what else, Justin? I was thinking too. I was thinking in the last few days when you guys, from what I found out until now, it was in my head because I got an opportunity to talk to Tiffany for a few minutes and just say, hey, and I love her. And Danielle and I love her and we support her, however, whatever we can do and stuff like that. But you know how we think. I was like, man, what would I, if I had an opportunity to sit down with Tiffany and talk to her, what would I tell her? And this is what I would tell her. What a gift, bro. What a gift that her mom got to see Tiffany thrive in recovery, to become an amazing woman of integrity, of with class, and just like a strong mother, a strong wife, like everything that like a woman should be. She got to witness that. She got to see her daughter grow up in recovery and become everything that a good human being supposed to be. And I was reflecting on that the other day, and I was thinking about when my mom died, and my mom did have the freedom of knowing that her son was finally getting it. I was 9-10 months sober. I didn't have an opportunity to come home and see her. I was still in treatment. And yeah, it's cool. You know, I think about that a lot, like that if I would have had the opportunity to share like who I am today with my mom, and I didn't get that opportunity, and I'm okay with it. I'm at peace with that whole deal. But the fact that Tiffany was able to is a really great gift and blessing, like that she's not going to go. She doesn't have to worry about things she said or
could have done. Even if,
and Justin, real quick. And even if she didn't say everything, it doesn't matter because her character and her behaviors have said everything possible that a mother would need to know about that daughter right there.
Yep.
You know, like, look, holy shit, look at this. She already, she knew everything without her even having to open her mouth, just by how she navigates through life on a daily basis because of recovery and because of her higher power.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because she knows, but your mind would like to bring you to those places because she's even said it. I've said everything and I've done everything that could make a mother proud. And it's true because like my mom passed away, this disease of addiction. We were all in it, my whole family. And the survivor's guilt is strong. And it was, but I've dealt with those emotions. This is my thinking, right? And this is, it could be whatever, but no matter how tragic or how unexpected or anything, death is a part of life. And I don't know, maybe I cope with it easier because it is part of life. I could die tomorrow. You know what I mean? That's what I think. It's like none of us are promised that. So that's why we have just for today. This is a one day at a time program. And we're living in today, you know, and be grateful for the life we have now. It kind of lessens the blow, I guess you could say, if that makes sense, without being too unsensitive. We got Rita. I think a lot of my hurry is my age. I feel like time's running out to do what I'm made to do. Got to slow it down a little. That's right, man. And there's not, what are we getting to? Where were we trying to get to? And as soon as I did that, you know, it's like everything just made sense. It started to slowly make more sense. Thanks, Mary Beth. 6 years, no fronts. You know, hit me up next Saturday, okay?
Yeah.
5 years, three, I don't even know how many days. 300 and what is it? I can't do math right now. My brain hurts. I was trying to do math with my daughter earlier and I'm like, what the hell? Is this
crap? That math's different, bro.
No, it's fractions. I got fractions all day long.
Okay.
But I haven't done it in a while. So it's like, I can add fractions in my head. But when it comes to like 16, 32s and the quarters, the eighths, stuff like that, that are on a tape measure, I could do that all day long. But when you're talking about doing like common denominators and you're trying to get percentages out of it, and I'm like, okay, I got this. All right. Yeah. I think I did this right. Hey, come check this. Yeah. I'm having like other people check my work for my daughter's work.
Yeah. Hey, Justin, check this out. So this was in one of my, this daily meditation book I read.
Okay.
It says the creator cycle, we survive and then we die, right? Nothing escapes the creator cycle, not plants, horses, trees, birds, or human beings, not the life of the mind, not the life of the heart, not the life of the spirit. All living things emerge, gather, spark new life, fall apart, die, and emerge in new ways. Each soul is a gust of God's breath unfolding in the great energy that surrounds us like an ever moving stream. The goal is not to cheat death, but to live in the stream with the humility and aliveness that only an acceptance of death can release. When we try to deny death, we can grow sick from frantically chasing any challenge that will occupy our minds. And living the other extreme, we can grow sick from thinking only of death, from letting death be all that we see. This makes a sad career of fear. Beyond all designs and desire, we survive, and like stones that are eroded by forces that can never be seen or stopped, our reward is the pain and wonder of bearing our inner beauty to the sky. What we carry deep within, if we live honestly, will inevitably be worn outwardly. The experience of living this fully has nothing to do with removing ourselves from the creator's cycle. Too often, we struggle stubbornly in an attempt to protect ourselves from the friction of being alive, when it is precisely that friction that works our spirit into a seeable gem. We are more malleable than we think, more durable and changeable than all hope. Thin and fragrant petals do not hide from the wind. They survive to die and break ground again. Even within one life, we shred and reroot. We break, bleed, and rearrange into yet another beautiful thing that learns how to reach. Resisting this process doubles our pain. Singing our way through it is the source of wisdom and beauty. If that's not like a story of recovery, I don't know what is, right? Because that's what we all are here. We are survivors. We're not victims. We're survivors. We have been broken and beaten and bruised, and slowly but surely through this process, through connecting to this power, we're piece by piece put back together. And I love that one. I don't know exactly how it goes, but I'm glad I was broken because then the light could get in, right? The light could get through the cracks. And it's like, that's just what they're talking about, man. We have to suffer through some stuff, man. Recovery is, it's not for the faint of heart. This stuff gets messy, man. And how free do I really want to be? Am I free enough to walk through something like this and not put something in my system? And that's the challenge. That's what I'm putting on all you guys. Like, what are you doing on a daily basis? Can you really say, like, today I put my recovery and my God first? Because anything, if I'm putting that first, what it does is it affords me the freedom to walk through anything life puts in front of me. And guess what? It's not a big deal. If I'm right sized and right with who I believe in. There is only things that I have to walk through. That's it. It's not some insurmountable obstacle. It's not happening to me. It's just all stuff that is helping me grow, is getting me closer to God. It's getting me closer to you guys. I can't stress the importance enough. I was listening to a speaker this week, and they said, this guy was talking about, he had been sober at this point 19 years, and he wanted to kill himself, right? Because he felt like if he went to enough meetings, sponsored enough people, that he would be okay, right? But what he was missing is a relationship with God. He was doing one in 12, but then you have all these other steps in between that help us get closer, that remove us from ourselves, because that's what this program, that's what recovery is all about. It's the elimination of self, right? It's getting rid of my self-delusion and getting outside of myself and helping somebody else. As soon as if I need to become not self-reliant, but God-reliant, and in that shift, I am okay. And I have to do it on a daily basis because I always return the next day, right? I don't care what I've done the day before. I have to get busy every day that I wake up and prioritize this deal so I can be of maximum service, so I can be in a space to receive these blessings and to see the world as my higher power intends me to see it. Not through the eyes of like, what can I get? Or it's through the eyes of what can I give? How can I help? How can I add to the stream of life and not take away from it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying by the, being a taker. What can I give? That's where the service work comes in. Instead of being all pity party, we got up and we went. And that's exactly what it is, man. You get out there and you freaking go help somebody. It's one addict helping another. You know what? It's rewarding because that's when recovery kicks in, is when you're in the tragedies, when things ain't making sense, when things get flipped upside down, unexpected. I was on my way to work when Tiffany gave me the call, and I was like, what the? So flipped around and came back and had to go pick her up because she couldn't drive. And it sucks, but it's like, if I didn't do all these practices that I've been doing this past year, man, like connecting, making sure that I'm centered, I wouldn't be able to. Yeah, man.
Yeah. And who's to say, just like I was saying earlier, though, like you probably, do I think you would have got loaded? No.
No.
But it's like, why aren't I taking this shit more seriously? Really? Like, why aren't I trying on a daily basis to improve and enlarge my spiritual life so I can show up in a way that I didn't show up the day before, so I can do better and be better. I love what Steve said here. What up, Steve? We love you over here, bud. Going to be in Ocala next Saturday if you want to grab some food.
Yeah, we should have got him on here.
I know,
it's
right?
It's been a minute.
Yeah. So he says victim to survivor to thriver, right? And that's the thing. I don't want to just be sober. I just don't want to, I'm alcohol and drug free. Hell yeah. No, I want to live life to the fullest. I want to thrive. I want to experience these blessings in a way that I could never experience them. And the only way to do that, it's funny how that works. It's a paradox, right? Because I have to let go of myself, right? And I have to turn myself over and I have to get close to God and I have to be of service. But in this space, when I am just showing up and being present and all these blessings start to unfold before me, I get to thrive. And when I'm talking about thriving, I'm not talking about material success. Sure, that comes to some people, sometimes slowly, sometimes never at all. But I'm talking about that I'm thriving on the inside. Like, I am at peace no matter what happens. And that's a gift, man. I don't want to be just a survivor. I want to thrive, man. I want to live. I spent a lot of time not living. I want to take full advantage of this gift I've been given and not take it for granted. And I've been guilty of it, man. I've gotten into a space where I get lazy. I had this period where I was on the road all the time and I'm not in a position. I'm like, just money. How much can I make? What can I do? Open this business, do this thing, do that thing. Where can I go? Where can I be? And I wasn't filling my cup. If we're receptive enough and we're open enough, we can see the lessons, and they come from every person, place, and thing. And, but it's my responsibility to keep that channel open. That shit ain't going to enter if I'm full of pride and greed and ego and selfish and self-centered thoughts.
Yeah. It comes back like a wave. There's times throughout this whole recovery process, man, where it's like, I feel like I'm on top of it. Right. I got it. Right. And next thing you know, man, it's like, where the hell did it go? It's because I stopped doing the things that got me here in the first place. I stopped doing the meditation. Well, I never did meditation. I more did readings like the Just for the Days or the daily reflections or whatever, doing those things. I stopped doing the things that got me here because the life got good, right? The life got good. And then I was like, I don't need those things. They're getting in the way of my what I really wanted. I just wanted my life back. And I got my life back and then life got good. And then all the things that I used to do are going away one by one, like little by little, they're inching their way out. And what does that do? It inches that door open to all the crap that I have done worked on that am not that far removed. When I have this built-in forgetter, and I think Kelly was saying it. I have this built-in forgetter that did low. I don't need those things. They're getting in the way. And next thing you know, man, I'm like right back in the same mindset in this miserable existence, just not putting it one in me. What the fuck? I don't want to live like that. I don't want to live like that anymore. I want that peace that we're talking about here, that peace that no matter what goes on, no matter what kind of life event, life on life's terms, that means no matter fucking what, I'm going to double down. I'm going to get this shit done. So when life is good and when life is bad, I'm in the same exact place. And that's what it's about. It's about being in when life is going real good for me and I can feel it. I don't want to take that for granted because there's going to be life that's going to be shitty. And you might be there right now. You might be in that valley and we might not see an end in sight when it happens, but there is an end in sight. What are we doing? We need to double down and double down on the work, because most of the time, it's just me. Life ain't bad, right? Yeah. It's me.
It's our perception.
It's our perception of how this life is or what it's supposed to look like. Yeah. But life is good. On the outside looking in, it's probably real good and you just can't see it. But I seen a picture earlier. It was like the turtle is saying, oh, I wish I wasn't slow. And it sees this bird flying by. And then you see the snail looking at the turtle. It's like, man, I wish I was that fast. It's like, what? If that doesn't let a clear, concise picture of what it looks like to have perception, right? Yeah. Perception's reality. And what I can see my life look like is what it's going to be. But if I have no hope and I have no nothing, or I don't have the willpower to actually want to do anything different, I'm going to stay there until I say, maybe I am the freaking, you know, that just because I'm not a bird, I'm still faster than the snail, you know?
I'll be the snail. Yeah, whatever. I don't care.
It's cool. Become turbo, bro.
It's what lens am I seeing through? Am I seeing through the lens of self-reliance and self-dependence, or am I seeing through the lens of God-reliance and God-dependence? And I just say God. I'm not a religious person. I don't go to church. I don't, anybody that goes to church, right on. I'm just saying, for people that scoff or bristle with antagonism when they hear God or Jesus or all these other religious terms like I used to, because that was me when I first got here. I just use God because it's a common name that you guys know what the heck I'm talking about, right? But if I'm seeing through the eyes of God reliance and God dependence, I understand that. That's the beautiful thing, man. If I can really plug into this source, I can see clearly that anything that is happening for a purpose, right? How else is it possible that I could look back on my past? And this is a past that is very messy, very tragic, a lot of dark and messy trauma. I'm talking loss of daughters. I'm talking abuse. I'm talking all the gnarly shit that we don't like to talk about, right? And that perpetuated a vicious cycle of addiction and self-destruction and prison for 2+ decades. And how, when I connect to this power, when I really plug into this deal and going through this process, I'm able to take, now I'm looking through different lenses and I look back at it and I see what a gift every fucking bit of it was. I see what purpose it has given me. I see how that, because of where I've been, what I've seen, what I've felt, that I am able to have this experience and this perception to appreciate every little trivial, mundane instance in life that most people take for granted. When there are a lot of people that go to their deathbed thinking, what was I here for? What was the point, right? We get that. Mm-hmm. We have been blessed with the answer to what the purpose is for life. And that is to take what we've been through and share that with somebody that is still struggling. And, you know, that's the shift, man. That's the shift in perspective. And if I can look through that lens at everything that I come across, you start to see things in a completely different light, man. Everything changes, man. Everything becomes, there's no mystery, right? All there is that, what is this trying to teach me? What is this doing for me? What do I need to learn from this certain situation? And then if you want to take it internally, if it's affecting me, if I'm irritated, if I'm annoyed, if I'm angry, if I'm fearful, then what do I have? What more work do I have to do to fix this? Because it's not you that's bothering me. It's not the thing that's bothering me. It's not the job. It's not the person. It's not the death. It's not any of those things. It's how come I am not able to walk through this? How come? Why is this making me uncomfortable? That's been like the real spiritual leap for me this last year. You know, like how can I go through life and not be affected by everything externally, right? I want to have that freedom that no matter what comes across my path, you know, I can accept it. I let go of the idea, the attachment that I have any real control over how life unfolds. The only real control I have is in my head, right? It's what can I do to plug into this power? And I just like this subject, man. I could go on for hours about it.
I was listening to a podcast earlier and it was talking about the illusion of control. Yeah. It's just a fantasy. Like I can control things and most of the time I'm going to ruin it. That's usually how it goes with me. Like this whole thing. So we went up to Georgia. We had to go make arrangements and things like that. And we're in this little town and this is where she passed away. It was this little quiet town, but her mom was big on Hallmark movies and romance and stuff like that. So we went and just walked town for a minute, man. Check out this little town that it was, man. And it's like, wow. Thinking about it, it's like, how do we honor our loved ones once a celebration in life? Or, you know, this person at this meeting said the most profound thing. This is what I took this and I'm running with it from every time. But Roy freaking said this at a meeting one time. It's like, what do we do after celebration in life? How do we honor people, you know, and their memory and all that? I see Kelly right here. She says, I feel such guilt being able to live and breathe with when my son isn't. Helping others is easier for me than caring and helping myself. If we do not help ourselves and care for ourselves, I'm telling you right now, we are not going to be able to care for anybody else. Or we have the illusion that we are, but we need to make sure we are our top priority. And that in turn is doing something to honor as your son. But how do we honor the loved ones, man? And how do we keep their memory alive? What is something they love? What is something that they love? What is something they would have done? Like, where are these things? It's like, man, enjoy the journey. That's something that her mom loved, is like the journey of everything. I just want to get to the destination most time. And that's how I've lived my life for the last 30 years, whatever. My whole adult life, I was always trying to get to the destination instead of enjoying the journey of this life. I think that's where we need to take a step back. And like, that's one thing that I did is like, go to the quiet town, like pass through, go to the stop. You get a U-turn. Like, why don't you miss a turn? Well, is think of it. It's God's will, man. And like, if you take the wrong exit or whatever, maybe it's just sit for a minute and take the positive out of every little detail and then just run with it. Right. As if you just accepted it and you've done it. It was a chosen choice, right? Yeah. You took the wrong turn. You had to make a U-turn. Oh, well, like you had to stop and smell the roses for a minute and enjoy the journey, enjoy the process, and stop chasing the destination. Because in that journey, you're going to see the beauty. And that's something we did this weekend while we're up in Georgia. We went to this little cute little town, man, sat in a freaking swing, just took it all in for a minute. Because you know what? That's what sometimes there's two things you could do with tragedy. You can stop, smell the roses, or you can stay in your head and make it worse.
Yeah.
And that's it's a choice, man. Just like everything else is a choice in this life. And we get, when things are handed to us, man, we have either sink or swim, right? It's either you sink or you swim. And let's swim and let's get to that next place where we want to be, where our loved ones want us to be. They don't want us depressed and unhappy. They want us to thrive. As freaking Steve said up there, thrive.
Yeah,
so that's what we're taking with this, man. Enjoy the journey. It's not a destination. And just like stop and smell the roses for a damn minute. And that's what I'm taking out of all this.
You know what else, Justin, I think is like, You know how what you just said about you went to this town, you sat in a swing. I think as humans, and I'm guilty of it too, like I have this idea of like what life should be like. Like I have to do these huge things. I have to go climb Mount Everest or hike the Appalachian Mountains. I have to go do these huge like adventures to really like enjoy or have these experiences. But right there is what you said. You guys went to this little town, sat in a swing. That's the type of spirituality I'm longing for, to find beauty in the simplicity of life, in the most simple of moments. Because imagine the freedom if I can be. I just had this experience yesterday, man. I went to a workshop all day, a retreat, and then Danielle and I were going to go surf, and she didn't feel well, right? So she's, I know you want to go. And I'm like, what do you need? What do you want? And she's like, I think I should rest. I'm like, let's do it. Let's rest. And I wanted to surf. I was boards were on my car and everything. I'm ready to go, man. I love surfing. Yeah, so does she. And what's cool is we sat there and I was just as content and free and at peace and in love, not in my head, not anxious, not resentful, enjoying just sitting on the couch watching a television show. And I don't know I don't know exactly where that comes from. I know for me where it comes from, but you have to find that for yourself. I know that comes from a couple things, namely, and most importantly, it comes from my spiritual connection, right? From my higher power. But also, you have to understand, I spent like 15 years behind bars, incarcerated. And that's part of like that shift in perception, because I know from that, what I got from that is that I have this like different way of appreciating the trivial, the mundane, the simple, the ins and outs of everyday life. I think that's like that's a beautiful thing you said, Justin, because you weren't trying to razzle and dazzle her, take her out and buy her gifts and lavish. No, you took her and sat her in a fucking swing, bro. And that space, that simple moment is more magical than anything you could have done. But may we live every day like that, you know, where we don't have to do these big things or go to these big places, that we can just, you know, wherever we end up, long as we're at peace in ourselves, then, and we're with somebody that we love, and we can really enjoy that moment, like as it's intended to be.
Yeah. You just reserve space and be there. It's funny because we have to go through the what life tells us we need, what society tells us we need to have, like so many kids, like you have to have 3.5 kids, whatever, it's 2.5. And then you have to have married with this picket fence and with like this fantasy of what it's supposed to look like. And man, it's nothing like that. It's just being there with the people you love and the simplicity of life. And it's like not keeping up with the Joneses and just being. Okay, I'm already enjoying the journey right now, but I think more of enjoying the journey and stop and smelling the roses for me. I think that's what this is about right here. This is a good title right there. Stop and smell the roses and enjoy the journey, right?
Yeah. Justin, like say yes to life. Go with the flow, man.
Flow, yeah. It's
you see my
like that a lot lately, hasn't it?
Oh man, you see my focus today? It says slow and low. That is the tempo from the Beastie Boys. I wanted to mix it up a little bit. But think about it, slow and low. Just slow, quiet, steady, consistent. Like for a guy like me, that says a lot, man. To just show up, and everybody that knows me, when I pull up, they know what they're getting. It's no damn who's going to show up today. Is it going to be selfish Nate? Is it going to be irate Nate? Is it going to be manipulative Nate? Who's going to show up? No, they know the same person is going to show. Like, what a gift I can give to my father, to my brother, to my girlfriend and her kids. Like, to know that someone is coming home every day that they can rely on, that is honest, that they can trust, that they believe in, that's not going to fly off the handle, that is just slow and low. Is the tempo. Slow and low. That is the tempo.
Good stuff. Yeah, I'm going to read some comments, man. I'm going to call it a night. We got Jessica Parker. I'll celebrate 1 year on the 26th. This podcast has been a huge resource for me and my journey. I'm grateful for y'all. We're grateful for you too, Jessica. And congratulations on your 1 year. And yeah, we appreciate you. And then we got Rita says, yes, that's when all real transformation happens. And then she says,
Oh, Rudolph.
Is he saying some stuff? I'm not there. Yeah. We got Rachel says, my legacy of love. That's right. And we have
Gina.
Gina, sorry. I have been wondering if it is selfish to say I don't want a funeral celebration of life. I will be at peace, so I don't want my loved ones crying and hurting. I am full of joy because in recovery, I get to be happy, joyous, and free. I don't think it's selfish, but in a way it can be, because you want people to honor you. You want people to grieve you as well. It's like that grieving process that humans have to go through. And I think a celebration of life is more perfect than a funeral. We want to celebrate the good life, the happy, joyous, and free, like you said, and what people remember you as.
Justin, go down, like, connect that to her next comment.
Okay. See? And then she says at six,
I think six and a half, maybe.
Six and a half, probably. Yeah. 6.5 years clean. I was DX'd.
Diagnosed? Yeah.
With multiple sclerosis, and 4 days before my sweet 16 clean date, I was diagnosed with a rare cancer, and I am not wanting to be a pity party. I just want to be an example of the 12 steps in recovering from all things in life. I don't know if it's
selfish
to say no service or mourning. I am so glad I was here tonight. Every week I get so much from y'all. Thank you for being here. And it isn't selfish, but in a way it is. It's not mourning. Make sure people know to celebrate your life and for what it was and the beauty in it. And then that's your dying wishes. That's what we need to make sure that we express to the people, is how we want to be remembered. And having that full transparency with the people you love, I think that's very important.
Yeah. But also, Justin, it's a cool, and this is just me thinking out loud.
I like when you think out loud.
Yeah, the beauty of that, you don't really get to make that decision. That's not your decision to make, Gina. Someone that, if you're leaving behind that legacy and you have that connection and that fellowship, like I know that Justin and I do, they're going to celebrate you no matter what.
Yeah, whether you like it or not. No. Let's see, we have, here we got Rita says, in the moment, love this. That's right, in the moment. We got Helen says, the simple things in life are so important. They give you such a spiritual connection. And we have Amy Lee, good to see you. And we have Rudolph. Yes, trust the process. The other day, I trusted the process so hard, I sneezed and shot. But I just kept going. Didn't drink, didn't change pants, just kept going.
Yeah.
You do you, boo. Just make sure you grab some wet wipes and bring them with you. You know what I mean? We got Gina says, right. They will do it anyway. That's right. No matter what, the ones you love will do it anyways, right? Man, I hope you guys got something out of this tonight. I always love coming on here. No matter what, man, I love coming to spend time with y'all, man, on this podcast with Nate and Caesar. He's not here, but
it's here in spirit, even though he didn't read the clarity statement.
Yeah, I felt like I should have tried to do it in his voice, but it doesn't work. But
I hope you feel better, buddy.
I look forward to these Sunday nights with y'all, man. So thank y'all for being here tonight and being here and being a part of my recovery. And so I hope you guys have a great week, and we love y'all, man. And stay safe out there. Peace.